Hello, and welcome to our second exciting NABBW teleseminar of January 2012. In a moment, I'll introduce our guest, Dr. Diana Kirshner, who will be sharing her secrets on dating relationship success for boomers and beyond. But first, let me introduce myself and set the stage. I'm Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and our website is found online at www.nabbw.com. We also have a hugely popular forum at www.boomerwomenspeak.com and a Facebook page. Our websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords Baby Boomer Women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you are welcome to join us. You'll find the link on the top right-hand corner of the NABBW site, which you can use to join. And this call is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. We have recordings of over 90 past teleseminars, which are yours with a gold-level membership in NABBW. We keep them in the members-only area, but the live calls are available to the public. They're not just reserved for our gold-level members. And we welcome all of you tonight. Now, as to the format of the call, I suggest that you get yourself comfortable and make sure that in addition to having something to drink, you have paper and pencil to take notes. And I have two reasons that I say that. First, Dr. Diana has some fantastic information to share with us this evening. And secondly, she also has a fabulous offer to share with you listeners, and I want you to be able to take notes so that you get all the details of that. Now, for the next 45 minutes or so, I'll be muting the phone lines while Dr. Diana and I talk about how she's helped thousands of boomers heal from heartbreak, date terrific partners, deepen their relationships, and find lasting love that is just right for them. After that, I'll open the lines for questions from the audience. If you do have a question before the lines are open, use the box that's on your computer screen to type in your questions. Then I'll see them as they come in, and I'll be able to relay them to Dr. Diana. So given that you now have all the rules and regulations for how this call is going to go, let's get started. Dr. Diana is one of our favorite guests here at NABBW, and I'd like to give her a very warm welcome by telling you that Dr. Diana Kirshner is a recurring guest on the Today Show, has appeared on Oprah, and starred in a PBS special on Love for Boomers. Her best-selling book, Sealing the Deal, The Love Mentor's Guide to Lasting Love, just came out in paperback. It has received rave reviews from luminaries like John Gray and Dr. Christiane Northrup. Of course, Sealing the Deal is a follow-up to her smash bestseller, Love in 90 Days. Dr. Diana has helped thousands of boomers heal from heartbreak, date terrific partners, deepen their relationships, and find lasting love that is the perfect love for them. Her acclaimed free Dating Tips and Relationships Advice newsletter is available on her website, which you will find at loveinnindydays.com. That's L-O-V-E-I-N, and then the numerals, numbers, not spelled out, 90days.com. Be sure to have pen and paper handy, as I said, because that fabulous personalized gift that she has is something that you won't want to miss. Now, please help me welcome Dr. Diana.
Hello, hello. Ann, did I lose you? Hello? Hello? Oh, dear.
Can you hear me, Dr. Diana? Oh, my. We seem to have lost Dr. Diana. I'm not quite sure what happened, but we'll try to get connected again. Hold on, please.
Hi, Anne. It's Dr. Diane. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no problem. I just gave you a wonderful introduction, and apparently during that time we lost your call, so I told everyone
to hang on and you'll be back.
I
don't know what happened, but the phone just went dead, and I'm calling you from a hotel in New York City, and for some reason,
mm-hmm.
It's funny because I had the man come and check this phone for our teleseminar, and he said it was fine earlier, but you know, Murphy's Law, what can I tell you?
And we always can deal with that. That's just the way life is. So now that you missed your wonderful introduction, why don't I give you a chance to start with first question, unless there's anything you'd like to share with us before we
no.
get to the official questions.
No, just
okay.
Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction, which I didn't hear.
Well, you'll get a copy of the recording. You'll get it then.
So what's our first question?
What would you say is the most important thing that a boomer can do to create lasting, passionate love?
Well, let me just say this. Boomers are my favorite group. Boomer women are unbelievable. I mean, they're established. They know what they want. They know how to get it. And they can really, really, really succeed at finding amazing matches. But the single most important thing that a boomer woman can do to find a great match is to actually decide that it is possible for her. To really decide that it's possible for her, because very often boomer women are coming out of situations where they've had a marriage that perhaps did not work. They've been in situations where perhaps they've been taking care of elderly parents or children who come back home to live with them. And quite often, their kind of needs and their working on themselves or really taking care of themselves goes to the back burner. And
mm-hmm.
and when it comes to getting back out there and dating, it's very common for them to have feelings like, I'm really kind of too old for this,
mm-hmm.
Put on some extra pounds, and I feel like no one would want to see me naked.
Right.
So they don't really feel like it's possible for them. And in fact, it's very, very, very possible. When I did my PBS pledge special on love, the woman who was in charge of the donations for PBS actually was a young, very young boomer, and she came to me and she said, I'd like to try your program because I try everything that I talk about, and she had not been married, and yet when we talked about that it was possible for her and also how to go about doing it. That's the other thing that boomer women need to learn is how to go about finding a good match, because there are fewer men. That's actually a fact. Once we did that, she found the great love of her life and got happily married. And the whole thing was written up in the New York Times, our whole story actually, how she came to me and, I was her love mentor and how
mm-hmm.
she got happily married. And I got to go to the wedding.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a super story. And I just love the fact that you have love mentors because I think that, we boomers are very comfortable with the concept of mentoring. We might have a coach to help us to build a business or a coach to teach us how to learn a new hobby or obviously we have coaches and trainers to help us when we decide to take up jogging or some kind of new exercise program. So we're very comfortable, we boomers are, with the concept of mentors and coaches, but I don't think that I've heard anyone else talk about a love mentor except you, and I just love that your whole concept of a love mentor. So let me ask the open question here is, why do boomers need love mentoring or coaching?
I'll tell you,
I think a lot of us might think that it should just happen naturally, or it's
yes,
not going to because
yes.
we're too old.
Yes, I'll tell you, the thing is that everything, the landscape, everything in the dating landscape has changed since boomers were originally dating quite often. Mm-hmm. There is now, of course, a whole bunch of online dating sites. There is Facebook in terms of meeting people. You can meet people through LinkedIn, and the rules have changed, and the whole process itself is so vastly different. You know, if you when you were young and you met somebody in college or, you know, at work, you know, a number of years ago, things were simple. You know, you had a few choices. You met some guy and you gave it a whirl. And of course, sexually, there were fewer risks. Mm-hmm. And that was that, you know. Now you have so many choices. It's totally bewildering. And also, it's the whole process is just completely different. I mean, people feel like they have, you know, this ability to kind of cut and run. So there can be a lot of meeting people who disappear on you. It can mm-hmm. lead to bitterness. It can lead to some kind of you know, negative feelings even about yourself. And so you really need help to navigate that. This is not it's not that easy. This is, you know, not
right.
that easy to do.
Oh, I know. In the forum, we've had discussions on this, and one of the discussions that has surfaces now and then in our forum is the concept of if you were no longer in the relationship that you're in right now, you know, such as you become a widow or you become divorced or you know, things change for some reason that I can't fathom what it would be right now, would you date again? And a lot of people say, no, I just wouldn't go there. So I can certainly understand that one of the reasons they say that is because all of these things that's changed, you know, we're the trepidation of, you know, we don't want to go there because we need a guide to help us. So
yes.
What would you say is the single biggest mistake that boomers make in dating and love relationships?
Well, I think, you know, what they have is what I call relationship killer beliefs. And these are knee-jerk, self-sabotaging beliefs that kick in, that kind of take over your mind and make you pessimistic and kind of make you a little apathetic and or even a little depressed. And I have six of them in my book, Sealing the Deal. But the one of the ones that I hear boomer women often say is, I will never find love because, well, it's a variation of a killer belief. That's the phrase is, I'll never find love because there's something wrong with me. And the boomer variation is, I'll never find love because I'm too old, or I'll never find love because I'm too fat. Then there's another belief that kicks into your mind sometimes, which is true. Exist if you did not have a real soulmate connection before, or you were in a negative relationship, unhealthy relationship, sometimes you'll have that one, and so what will happen is that even if you meet some interesting guy at a party, even by accident, but he doesn't call right away, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. your killer belief will kick in. Oh, he wouldn't be interested in me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, mm-hmm. you know, it's not possible for me. And so that kind of kills any possibility, even if there was a great possibility. And let me tell you this, that there are great possibilities for every boomer woman who would like to get out there and date. I've had so many people in the Love Mentoring Program actually have kind of like a second adolescence, only it's a happy adolescence because they get out there and they really know what they want. And for the first time, they really feel like they're on their kind of on their game in relating to guys and kind of empowered and clear about what they want, and they know how to get it once they're taught how to get it. And there are a lot of choices for them. So when they have like two, three, four interesting men who are, you know, this one has a PhD or that one is a very caring, loving guy who's retired, or I can't tell you the interesting guys we've met. I mean, I've had one woman met a guy who had millions and millions of dollars. I mean, you would never think he actually came to her from an online dating site.
Okay.
true story. But the women who go for it and they know what they're doing, they have the time of their lives. I mean, I had a woman in her 60s send me a picture of her that was breathtaking. I mean, she a lot of the time I talk about, you know, pursuing your passion, but actually doing it in an arena where you'll meet some interesting guys. That's one of the ways to do it in addition to online. And she took up dancing, and this was actually competitive ballroom dancing. And she just had the time of her life, and she sent me a photo of her in this outfit. I mean, she just looked stunning and radiant and happy and alive and, you know, glowing, really. And she, each guy she was meeting was better than the next. This guy has his boat and he likes to go sailing, and the next one is like, you know, has, you know, two houses and, you know, just for fun. Not that she, you know, was like looking for somebody with money per se, but
right.
She wanted an interesting partner, and she was getting a lot of interesting guys. And, so this is the kind of thing that can happen, and boomers are so powerful. They're so powerful. I think boomer women are even more powerful than boomer men. Don't tell any boomer men.
Okay.
But I really do see that. I mean, the women are, they're so strong, and they're so bright, and they're so clear, and they're awesome. They're just awesome, awesome.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. So that means that you're saying, based on experience with these women that you've worked with, we do have many opportunities out there for us to find love again. Would you say that there is one key secret for rapid dating success? Say we went with the online dating concept, which is kind of a scary idea, but I think for a lot of women. But is there a key secret for success with online dating?
Yes, yes. A key secret for success with dating is to understand that it is a numbers game. Now, what are the ramifications of that? In a numbers game, what do you do? It means that you have to rapidly sort through a number of partners, and you have to, and here's the key, you have to lower your expectations. Now, this sounds paradoxical after what I was just talking about, but it does make sense. And what you do is you sort through guys. Well, first you want to optimize your online, your photo, which is everything to a man. And there are simple ways to do that, which we will get into. But then what you want to do is quickly get to a point where you have a very brief coffee date with guys who are of interest to you, who seem solid, and you want to have that in a public place, and of course with your cell phone, and you can Google a person beforehand. In fact, that woman that I mentioned to you, who was working with one of my love mentors, who met the guy worth millions of dollars, she had Googled him. She didn't know who he was, and she Googled him, and she saw that he had a major business, and the photo, of course, matched the photo on the online site, and so she knew who she was going to meet. This is a case in point. This was not the first man she met. Do you understand?
Right.
It's like you got to think of it that you're going to sort rapidly through a number of men who are perhaps not suitable to find the great ones. And so in order to not get burnt out, what do? You lower your expectations. And lo and behold, it's fairly easy. You know, because you're not expecting all that much. You're just kind of going through meeting the people and screening them out. You expect to screen mm-hmm. them out, not in. And next thing you know, you're meeting some really interesting guys. Really, really interesting guys. Now, your photo needs to be optimized. If you're going to go into online dating, your photo is very important. And what you want to do is wear red, because research shows that men are more attracted to red. They'll rate a woman wearing – the same woman wearing a red dress is more attractive than the woman wearing a blue dress, let's say. And a scoop top with a little bit of décolletage, you know. And and also making eye contact with the camera and smiling. Research is very clear that that people and women who are making eye contact and smiling are rated as more attractive or more beautiful. And this is something that quite often a woman can feel concerned about, you know, about perhaps her age or whatever. She doesn't look exactly like some kind of movie star or something. But really what the men are looking for is warmth. The reason that that's so important in the picture, that eye contact and that smile, they're looking for warmth. They're really looking for warmth, and they're looking for feeling like they're at home with a woman. And they're laughing and happy. You know, they're joking and they're having a good time. Mm-hmm. So in the photo, you want to look like you're having a good time, you know. And even if it's hard for you to take photos, take a good photo. These days with the digital photos, it's not really, because all you do is you could have a friend, a good friend who's a great photographer, take 100 or so photos of you, and one of them's going to turn up good.
Right.
You know, you're just kind of fooling around. Or you can actually go to a professional photographer who does casual shots, and as long as it looks casual, you will look beautiful. And everyone can look beautiful in a photo, believe me, everyone. The other thing is to wear some makeup, not too much. Again, research shows that a certain amount, women with a certain amount of makeup are rated as more beautiful. And then it drops off and you add more makeup, like excess makeup. So it's really simple. It's really simple.
Excellent. Well, that's heartening to hear that you're telling all of our potential daters of the future here that they can do it. So are there particular online dating sites that you think are better than others when it comes to boomer women?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I have 10 love mentors who work under my supervision. They're all trained by me. So we've seen a lot of people. They have seen a lot of people and mentored a lot of people. And I'm not affiliated with any online dating site. But the site I love the best for boomer women is Match.com.
Okay.
Even though it's not a boutique site, like, let's say, Senior People Meet. Now, Senior People Meet is also a good one, but not as great as Match. Match can be fantastic. Match can be fantastic. Match.com. And then the other one I like for boomer women is eHarmony. I do like eHarmony. And I do like, if you're really interested in getting really into your dating rapidly, is to just actually sign up on two sites. And so you're kind of mixing it up, and you're looking here and there, and you're seeing what's available. And also widen your range of available men from, you know, men who are younger than you to men who are older than you.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, one thing I'm curious about, just because I'm married, so my husband hearing this might be concerned as to why I'm asking this, but as I'm listening to you, I live in a small community these days. We used to live in a large community, but we moved to this little town that we just dearly love. It's kind of a tourist town. But I kind of have the idea that were I to be looking to date, the pool here would be smaller. So it would seem like when I would be signing up for one of these online dating sites, I would need to affiliate myself with a community in the area that's larger? Is that something that you recommend?
Well, yes. I have a couple of things to say about that. Number one is that you do want to use a larger radius, because they'll ask you, seeking to meet men within X number of miles. So you do want to use a larger number of miles and play with that. You're always experimenting. As with anything online, you're always experimenting and playing with something and seeing what results you get. And so experiment with your number of miles. But also, this is one of the most common complaints I hear from women. You have to understand, I live in East Hampton. And it's, in the summertime, it's fine. But the wintertime, forget it. There's nobody here, right?
Right.
Or I'm in Yohopitz, Florida, and in the middle of the swamp. It's very, very, very funny, and I cannot tell you the number of times we have had women in the mentoring program who wind up meeting a guy, and he's like, he lives 10 blocks away in this little town. And he's like a widower, you know what I'm saying? And it's hysterical. It's hysterical. I cannot tell you the number of times. I mean, well, actually, that woman in East Hampton is dating and having a time of her life, and in wintertime, too. It's definitely the beauty of the online situation is that you can find these people even though they're 10 blocks away. That's why, see, the online dating allows you to transcend time and space, right? Because in the past, you would only meet whoever was right available in your area, in your immediate area, who was working with you or at your, grocery store. And obviously during your particular timing of your schedule, right? So if you happen, there could be a perfectly wonderful guy, but if he went to the grocery store, in the evening and you went in the morning.
In the morning, right. You'd never meet.
You'd never meet. But here's the beauty of the online situation. With online dating, you will meet. You will meet. You see, you have many, 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 many more possibilities. It's exponential. It's an exponential increase in your possibilities of love. And for that reason, I call this the age of abundant love. This is the age of abundant love. Not only that, you can go on Facebook and you can find old loves. You can go on Facebook and you can find new loves. You can meet people. Another way I tell boomer women to meet people is by Googling, finding an activity you love, like hiking, or as I said, dancing, or computer, any kind of computer courses, or artificial intelligence, future thinking, anything that you enjoy and that might have a lot of men in them, and go to them and have fun. And so you Google the name of the activity, let's say, line dancing, even line dancing. Don't even need partner dancing. But you Google. I had a case with a woman who did line dancing, and she wound up living with her teacher, the guy who was teaching. And a lot of boomer women don't like to get married. They just want to have a companion. They live together. So you Google whatever you're interested in your town and classes. And you find classes, and you have the time of your life. You have the time of your life. Meanwhile, let's say that there's tons of men in this situation. For example, I'm married, but I happen to like future thinking and artificial intelligence. That's a hobby of mine. And there's something called the Singularity. And they have a Singularity Summit every year. And I go to that. This year was in New York City. This is 90% men. 90% men, because it's all future thinking and great minds giving talks that are, all about computers and all about the advances in medical science and different sciences and great philosophers giving talks. And there's venture capitalists there because they're looking to capitalize on what these great minds and these scientists are talking about. So they're very wealthy men, and then there are brilliant men who are giving the talks.
Wow. It sounds like a place where I would find fascinating people to talk to, whether I was looking for dates or not.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing,
kind of
is that you want to have fun. And so I have a ball at that. I mean, I'm married, but, I mean, I just have a ball going to that. And if you're single, you go to that, and you're the only woman there, you know, let's say when the breakout room or in the break room, you know. And mm-hmm. that's a nice thing. I don't like singles events. I do not like singles events because there's pressure and it's weird and it's just a strange thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to something you love and you're having fun and you meet somebody, it's natural and easy. And especially if your odds are in your favor with something like the singularity where you're one or two, you know, there's you're one of two women there in the who happened to be in the room at that time.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Now, mm-hmm. are there recommendations that you would make, and when do you put these into play, where you need to check up on these people that you meet in a dating site like this, just because I would think that you want to make sure that they are who they say they are?
Yes. I actually do like Googling people in the early stages, and even Googling before you meet for the first time, just mm-hmm. to check out what you can find and see. And sometimes you can find information on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes on Facebook you can find a lot of personal information that people just have there.
Right.
It doesn't hurt to double check and understand, you know, that the person is really who they're saying they are. And
mm-hmm.
To be a little more cautious in this situation. And you don't give your, necessarily your real information yourself. I mean, when you're first emailing back and forth on the site, you have your screen name and you're protected. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can block somebody off if you don't like what's happening.
Okay.
One of the red flags is if somebody's too interested too soon. I'm falling in love with
mm-hmm.
you just from reading your email. That's a bad sign.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've written a poem for you after
right.
you wrote me your email. I mean, really, I've seen these situations, and that's not good.
Oh, no, I would think not.
No.
Right.
And you can read a lot into somebody's email and how they write and if they're controlling and how they respond to you or they don't respond. You know, you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just pay attention.
All right. Excellent. Well, then, assuming that we go through one of these services or multiple of them, as you suggest, and we sift through the choices that we are presented with. Let's move along a little bit and talk about the part where we might be actually starting to fall in love. In the book Sealing the Deal, I was fascinated when you talked about brain chemistry and how our brain chemistry shifts in a positive manner when we fall in love. But you also pointed out that this brain chemistry fades as we get into the relationship in a long-term basis, and you explained, I remember watching it on your PBS program, how you talked about how that's designed to fade away. But let's talk a little bit, because I was fascinated with your ideas about how you can keep sparks flying even after those feel-good chemicals are gone.
Absolutely. The feel-good is designed to last only about 6 months to 2 years. And of course, you know, you get used to people, you get used to each other, and then all the warts and pimples come out, and you know, the people aren't putting their best foot forward anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have to work at regenerating that chemistry and juicing things up. And I have dozens of tips on how to do this in Sealing the Deal, even for married. I've had a lot of married people tell me that's been very helpful to them. Based on what I call the 8 habits of living love. And
mm-hmm.
One thing that's really important, because once you're dating someone and things are going along and, you know, you've been together for, let's say, 9 months or so or a year, you sometimes get into a routine. You know, you see each other on every Friday night, or he comes over every weekend, and then you cook dinner, and then you make love perhaps in the same way, and then you
mm-hmm.
go and you watch a movie. And it actually
right.
gets into a routine, even though you're just dating, you're not even married.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the key things that you can do to really spice things up is to think in your mind how would I be acting if I was having an affair with this person? And this is for married people as well. How would I be acting if I was talking to my spouse right now and I was having an affair with my own spouse, or I was having an affair with my own boyfriend? How would I act? Well, you know, I might send a very sexy text. I might send some X's and O's after I send a message to him. I might be wearing something low cut if I was having an affair. I might be kind of kissing him in the dining room instead of the bedroom. But it changes the whole kind of feel of it if you really decide that you're going to just, you know, keep generating this kind of feeling of having an affair with someone, and where things are more unpredictable. You want to keep things new and more unpredictable, and that generates this feeling of falling in love, especially if you do unpredictable and novel things that are exciting and get the adrenaline going, like you decide to suddenly jump in your car and take off, not knowing where you're going, let's say, for the weekend or something, or you go to roller coaster ride or something. You can't, you know, you keep that energy going with the adrenaline, and the adrenaline is very similar to feeling in love and in feeling of infatuation, which is caused by, in part, by dopamine, which is this brain chemical that makes you feel great. And so you want to keep generating that and change it up. You know, the thing is that people fall in love in the beginning because they're having fun together. They're having fun. And that definitely goes for boomers, too. They're just having fun, you know. And what happens over time is you stop having fun, or you get married and you stop having fun, and you get, you know, stale. And so you have to have fun. How are you going to have fun together? How are you going to be playful together? That's actually one of the other laws, is, you know, having fun. How are you going to do that? How are you going to have fun? And the best thing is to think of what would be fun for you and incorporate it into what would be fun for him, and then you're both having a great time together.
Together. So maybe what about the concept of deciding that you're going to together take on a new hobby, like you said, the line dancing, or maybe something totally different. Like I've got a friend of mine who's been talking lately about something called geocaching, which apparently is some kind of thing that you do where you drive places according to GPS locations and find messages that people hide. And I've been kind of fascinated and thinking that I should find out more about geocaching. And so I've been wondering if my husband would think that was a fun, because it's, you know, it's new, like you said, it's a new adventure. So that's what you're saying, is that,
yeah, that sounds ideal. That sounds like so much fun. That is ideal. Ideal, because you don't know what's going to happen. You're on an adventure with each other. You're having fun, you know, and then you just want to throw in that having an affair with him, you know, and say, you know, we're going to get a message and I might abduct you.
Right, yes.
After we get that message, you'll never know.
Right.
And take you to an interesting hotel.
My husband actually reminded me of that I did that on our second anniversary, and we've been married 24 years now, but on our, he still remembers that on our second anniversary, I did a thing that was kind of like the Mission Impossible. I sent him a message on the phone that said, foreign insurgents are gathering in this hotel and we need to go there. And so then we got to that hotel, then there was a message that I had left there with the host, that, you know, he was supposed to give us this message that said, you need to go to, you know, like they did on Mission Impossible, you need to go to this place. And it ended up that I took him to a resort where we spent the weekend. But I was amazed that last night he was talking to me about how much fun that weekend had been. And that's a long time ago that we did that. So obviously it made a big impression on him.
Yes, yes. And that's something that you want to create again. And I think this new adventure that you're talking about is really
mm-hmm.
along the same lines. It's exactly along the same lines. And
mm-hmm.
that whole fun, it's like playful, you know, what you're talking about, it's like a playful way of pretending you're in danger, which also kind of smacks of like an affair-like feeling, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, we're, you know, and you can really role play too, actually having an affair. You know, let's just meet
mm-hmm.
and, I'm, you know, you're Richard and I'm, you know, give each other
different
right. names and meet,
sure.
meet at the hotel and the lobby. And, it's the adventure. We don't often pay attention to that. And yet it is the thing that really makes us most alive, and our partner most alive, and our relationship most alive, is, you know, just getting back into our real curiosity and our fun mode and, just taking off and seeing what happens. Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we got cut off again.
I don't know. I didn't hear you there for a second, but as long as we got cut off, let's go in a different direction here.
Okay.
You talked about the concept, or we've heard the concept that once a cheater, always a cheater. So let's take off a little bit and discuss that since we probably covered the other feel good chemical thing, and I'm curious whether you think that a person, because now and then you hear someone say, well, you know, my husband cheated on me, or my boyfriend cheated on me, and we split up, and now he wants me back. And so the question I always have is that just asking for more abuse?
Well, you know, for many years, Anne, I worked as a couples therapist for many, 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 many years, and I saw many couples who had, you know, suffered an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that it is just not true, once a cheater, always a cheater. That is just not true. In my book, Sealing the Deal, I have a 4-step process you can use to come together better than ever, after an affair. And the thing is that infidelity occurs even in happy couples.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships usually don't break up because of affairs. They usually break up because the partners have lost a sense of connection and friendship. So the key is to rebuild the friendship. And it can be done, you know, assuming that you're not dealing with a sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're dealing with a sex addict, that's a whole different ball of wax. And if it keeps happening, you know, like if it's the second time, it's got to be, you know, 2 strikes and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is the first time, you can basically follow the steps in Sealing the Deal to rebuild, you know, instead of losing everything and having that financial setback and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one step is to find a really good couples therapist. And when I say that, I mean a couples therapist who has actually helped couples go through this kind of thing and heal and really be better with each other. And what people don't understand is that you can interview couples therapists. You can interview them. You don't have to just go see someone like you're going to a doctor, but you can interview them and say, you know, have you ever helped couples go through an affair and really come out the other end and be, you know, closer? Even closer,
mm-hmm.
and you find a therapist who has done that, because what people don't understand is in therapy, quite often the therapist's own life may place a ceiling barrier on how far they can help you. Do you understand? So in other words, if the therapist is bitter and in some kind of divorce that hers didn't work out, or she may feel like yours can't. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I know that I've heard, with my first husband, I went through couples therapy, and it wasn't very successful, but I have since heard that sometimes if you're not successful with one therapist, you shouldn't think that there's no help anymore for your relationship, you should seek another therapist. So I think what you're telling me is that this is exactly what you would recommend, is that it's because we're all human beings, all of our the therapist might try to be separate, you know, and not inject their own situation into their treatment, but it still could happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It happens unconsciously. They don't mean to. They don't mean to.
Mm-hmm.
But it can happen unconsciously. And the way you find that out is you ask them, have you helped couples in this situation? And then, you know, if they have, they have. And then that means that that's not unconsciously, and any of their wounds or their
mm-hmm.
bitterness is not unconsciously coloring their work.
Right. Excellent. Well, that's good to know then. That's something I wasn't aware of, so I appreciate knowing that. Now, talking about heartbreaks that might have occurred because of cheating or because we lost a spouse through a widowhood or something like that, I know that in Sealing the Deal you talk about 5 ways to heal heartbreak, and I guess one of the things I'd like to make sure we talk about this evening is, are there make-it-or-break-it steps that you can take, that you would recommend that we take, to pick ourselves up and move on in the case of a heartbreak?
Yes, yes. You know, and this heartbreak, you know, as I say, sometimes there's a little heartbreak, even in the beginning of dating, you know, till you get the hang of it, and then sometimes there's big heartbreak. But nonetheless, the most important thing is to not isolate yourself. You know, our tendency is to isolate. That is to be on the couch, feeling sorry, eating the ice cream, watching the, you know, TV,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. And you do not want to isolate. You want to see your friends, your loving friends, your family members, and you get that support. And talk about how you're feeling. Talk about it and let them listen. That in and of itself is a salve that will help you. And research shows that it actually releases natural painkillers in your brain, And
okay.
Heartbreak actually is a pain. It can cause physical pains as well as, of course, emotional pain. And when you're with a very loving friend or family member, there are painkillers released in your brain. Isn't that interesting? Natural painkillers.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing that can be very helpful is to have an imaginary talk with your ex. And this is an imaginary talk. You're not talking to them. But you're, let's say you kind of set up a chair with a pillow and you say all the things that are unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
This can really help you resolve grief. You can also write a letter that you don't send to get
mm-hmm.
it off your chest, because sometimes those thoughts will go over and play over in your mind over and over and over again, and you want to get them out. And that can be very helpful. And then, of course, to pray. If you have a religion, you know, that you belong to pray is an incredible salve, as well as any kind of spiritual practice. Meditation can be extremely helpful. Meditation and prayer will speed up your healing tremendously. You'll just go through it, and you know, the grief and the sadness come in waves, and they come when you're you know, being more spiritual or praying. The waves come more
mm-hmm.
rapidly and diminish and come and leave and come and leave, and then you're done, you're through it more
mm-hmm.
rapidly. And then, of course, exercise. You know, everybody knows that exercise will improve your mood. Of course, it's the last thing you want to do when you're heartbroken.
but yes, it's so much better than the ice cream eating.
Yeah, yeah. And so even if you do 5 minutes, you know, just you say
mm-hmm.
5 minutes, I'm just going to go out there and walk for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It will get you going. And, of course, 5 minutes turns into half an hour. And
mm-hmm.
But you make a little deal with yourself that you're not going for half an hour. You're only going for 5 minutes.
Right.
And in that way,
that's the way you get yourself out the door, is you say it's only for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant. All right, well, I'm looking at my clock here, and I'm realizing that I've been having such a great time talking to you. I've got only a few more minutes in our hour here, and I want to make sure that we hear about your fabulous offer that I promised our listeners at the top of the call. So why don't I give you time now to tell our listeners about your special offer?
Well, it's really incredible. I mean, I have a free 40-minute one-on-one love mentor session by phone or Skype that any of your listeners can have with one of my expert love mentors. And these people, I have 10 love mentors who are your socks off brilliant. I mean, they are they are amazing. And that's at www.loveandninetydays.com. They all have a minimum of a master's degree in a mental health discipline, many, many years experience, clinical experience. They're all happily married, or in a very happy, lasting, many-year relationship, and they're all personally trained and supervised by me. These are people that are so awesome. We had one woman actually get married after her free session, who had a free session, a free introductory session. She realized what was in her way, some of her killer relationship, killer beliefs, and she got married. But they're awesome. They're just awesome. These are the people that I would talk to if I had a problem. I had so many people apply to be a love mentor with me, and I turned them all down except for these guys because they are incredible. So so your listeners can actually have a 40-minute one-on-one personalized love mentoring session that's coaching where they can ask any question they want, and this is available for married women, for single women, no matter what they're dealing with. We've handled it all. And all your folks need to do is go to www.loveandninetydays.com and click on the little tab at the top that says coaching and fill in the box. And they'll be contacted by a professional expert love mentor. And I can't say enough about these guys. They're unbelievable.
Oh, that sounds like a fabulous offer, Diana. Thank you very much for making that available to our listeners.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's all by phone or Skype and email. So it doesn't matter where you're located, and we've done sessions with people in tents in Cambodia, in Australia, and everywhere, all over the world.
Oh, Skype is such a fabulous way for you to be able to reach out that way. So I'm glad that you can do it by phone or Skype. That's super. Well, this is just wonderful information that you've given us here this evening, Dr. Diana. And I'm not sure if I have any more questions. I think that I was going to ask you to tell the story of Midge Woolsey, but you told us that already, and that's just a fabulous story. So I guess I'd only have one other question, and that would be, would you say that there's a secret that you would be able to share with us that would allow people to instantly resolve conflict with our men?
Yes, yes, yes. That's a fantastic question. That is absolutely a fantastic question. In Sealing the Deal, I talk about this. You can get into a cold war. You can get into a distance that is deadly, or you can get into some heated kinds of conflict. And this is very, very, very destructive on your health. I can't tell you how destructive it is, both of your health, both partners. Their physical health actually declines, and their emotional health. And so it's very, very, very important to understand that you don't want to be paying that kind of price. You don't want your partner to be paying that kind of price. No matter how you're feeling in the moment, you don't. And what you want to do is understand what it is that actually breaks the cycle of the conflict. Now, certain guys will respond to touch. In other words, if you touch them on the arm in a sweet way, or I had one case where the woman would kind of put her feet near his feet when they were in bed to end the conflict, or touching his arm, or changing your tone of voice. The question is, what works with your partner, with your man, to actually calm him down? Because men get going in their internal engines, and they can't calm down. Or is it actually to give him space, but in a kind way? So those are three different things, but they will instantly end the conflict if you really understand it and you do this in a generous, smart way that is not a way where it's got some kind of like tension in it or you're really being sabotaging, but you're actually you're saying stop. It's like in your mind you're saying, I'm stopping this, and then you touch, or I'm stopping this, and I'm saying, I'm just going to give you space, sweetheart, and you let him go. And it's actually a decision inside you. Do you see? That's the thing that instantly stops the conflict. It's you being the change you want to see. You need to be the change you want to see in your relationship.
Okay. Well, now I'm just curious. You said one option is to touch, and the other one is to give space, and they seem like opposites. So how do you know which is going to work with your man?
You got to think through your history. You think through your history. Okay. In other words, some people are more kinesthetic. There are kinesthetic men who, if you touch them in a tender way, they melt. They actually melt. Or you can go over and, like, put your head on his lap or it's a physical contact. Think of your history. What really melts your man? Sometimes it's a matter of lovingly saying, look, you know, let's just take a little time apart, sweetheart, and that's it. And, you know, is he the kind that needs to decompress by just going to his man cave or watching his program or watching his sports? Let, you know, and set it up for him to do it. Set it up for him to do it so that he's thankful. The other men are more auditory. So if you change the tone of your voice, men can be very, very sensitive to the tone of a woman's voice. In fact, research shows that they hear a woman's voice sometimes as music, as similar to music. So if your voice is harsh like this, it's actually even more grating for a man. But if you soften it, sweetheart, I don't want to fight with you. Sweetheart, I just want to kiss you now. You understand? So softening the voice, you know, pay attention because people generally process information in one of three ways. They're either kinesthetic, auditory, or visual. Kinesthetic means they're all about touch and feelings.
Right.
Auditory means the sound of the voice. And then the visual, of course, we didn't address that, but if your man is more visual, it's your posture. In other words, your vibe. It's your posture and the way you're looking at him and your expression on your face. But if you're being the change you want to see, right, if you're being the change you want to see, your face is going to look soft. You're going to look, you know, sweet and but... Not that you're capitulating necessarily to what the so-called the battle was about or what the terms of the battle were, but you've decided that being close is more important than being right. Being close is more important than being right. So, and generally being close is more important than being right.
Right.
So... You know, that's the thing. If you got to think back in your history, what is your man like? What softens your man? What makes him happy? What makes him relax? You really want to help him to relax. Men can't relax when they get upset. Their engines go. They get angry. They get flooded, and they're biologically different from women. They can't calm themselves down as easily as women can. We can turn on a dime. I think that's because of the child-rearing aspects. But men cannot. Men cannot. So he needs help calming himself down. He really does.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's real. They get flooded. They actually get flooded with emotion. It's like the engine is flooded and it can't stop.
You've just revealed something to me, not so much with my husband, but with one of my employees. I've just realized that's what's happening with him. So I think the same concepts that you're talking about could also apply in the work relationships as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Very excellent information there. And I really appreciate that. So I know that we've had a little bit of difficulty with our technology here on how this call went today, Dr. Diana, but it's been great talking with you, and I really thank you for being my guest and for the great discussion. And before I close, I want to ask, is there anything else that you'd like to say that I didn't remember to ask you?
I just want to say that anybody listening to this call should know that they can create whatever kind of relationship is right for them. And I mean anybody. If you really desire that, or there's just a little longing in your heart, you can learn how to do it. You may need some coaching. You may just need to, like, pick up a book or two. You can pick up Love in 90 Days and Sealing the Deal. They're, like, only about $10 on Amazon, and which I love because it's very easy to get the information. And you can do it. You can do it. And don't forget to email me and let me know when you do it, because I love those emails the best. But
all
you
right.
can contact me through the website. It's you can, where it says contact on 1190days.com.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that's certainly what I was going to remind all of our listeners, that Dr. Diana's website is at lovein90days.com, with everything spelled out except the numeral is 90. And that's where you can go and sign up for your free 40-minute one-on-one love mentoring session. And also, that's the same address where you'll be able to get her newsletter that's free, free dating tips and her relationship advice. So I certainly advise any one of our listeners here to be sure and go check out that site, www.loveinnintydays.com. And remember, as I said in the beginning of the introduction, Diana, I did tell people about your new paperback version of Sealing the Deal, The Love Mentor's Guide to Lasting Love, which just came out, I believe it was last week, and that's available on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. So,
yeah, it should be everywhere.
Yes.
So, well, thank you, Anne, and I definitely advise everyone to join the Anne's wonderful group. It's been fantastic. I'm a member myself, and it's a wonderful group.
Well, thank you very much for that, and I thank all of our listeners for joining us here this evening. And with that, unless there's anyone else, I've got the call open so that anyone can talk. If there's anyone who had a question and I didn't offer because of the time factor here, I didn't offer for anyone to jump in with a question. But before I close, I will shut up here for a second and say, if there's anyone out there who wants to ask Dr. Diana a question, I go ahead and do it. All right. I didn't hear anything there, so I'm going to thank everyone for joining us, and thank you, Dr. Diana, for being with us. You're one of my favorite guests on these teleseminars that we do, and I really appreciate the information that you provided for us here. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. You're one of my favorite interviewers.
Oh, thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Take good care.
Good night, everyone. You too. Bye.